Welcome to the Sharing Project podcast. I'm your host, Kristen. Join me as I share candid conversations with inspirational people in my life. We will discuss the meaning of life, our soul's purpose, making big decisions, and much, much more. Thanks for being here. Happy Friday. Happy Easter season. I hope you have had a great month celebrating springtime and any kind of religious or spiritual holidays or celebrations you might also have in your life. So I'm just finishing up spring break. I had a little more than a week off and took my boys to Lake Arrowhead for a few days after Easter. We got some R&R in the mountains. It was very relaxing and fun, just a way to reconnect with each other, be together, go with the flow, you know, just try not to get too carried away and, you know, make more exhaustion, which sometimes vacation becomes, doesn't it? It's like you're going away, but it ends up being a pain in the butt. But no, we pretty much took it easy and we had a really, really good time. They also went to Hawaii with their dad, which I was a little jealous of at first, but honestly, at the end of the day, I'm so glad it was him and not me. I'm sure we'll have a big trip like that at some point, hopefully in the near future. But for now, I'm still in rest and recovery mode. I realize, especially now that I'm working full time, that I am exhausted. Like deep down in my bones, I'm really, really tired. And when given the opportunity to relax, I am taking it because I realize I'm still healing. I'm still doing some really deep healing work and going through this transition in my life, you know, out of my marriage and into my new way of being, not just with, you know, the relationship, but also in myself, with my work and my place in the world. And there's just a lot of layers. There are a lot of layers. It's like when you get a massage. And, you know, the therapist is working through those layers of tissue and knots and the alignment and or misalignment, you know, and just trying to get readjusted. I don't know that we're ever done because we always need to be adjusting, right? But to get to a place of wellness and relaxation and maybe like a normal. I'm still on my way to normal. So this is a pseudo spontaneous episode. I was just thinking earlier today, you know, it's time for a solo episode and what do I want to talk about? And, you know, I had this day today where I was dealing with some disappointment and I was reflecting as I was, you know, kind of filling my time that was, so I had some time free up because something I was planning to do today didn't work out. So I was left to say, okay, now what? Okay, which is sometimes really a gift because you're like, oh my gosh, I have all this time open up that I didn't realize I had. But I was reflecting on myself and also a conversation I had yesterday, which I'll get into a little bit, about how I deal with disappointment. So I thought I would get on tonight and talk about that a little bit. I'm doing something a little different this time. I'm sitting on my couch, actually with a movie queued up and a pint. Is this a pint of ice cream? Oh, and a quart. A quart of ice cream sitting next to me. So if I take some bites, that's because I don't want it to melt too much. But I'm sitting on the couch with my AirPods in and I'm recording on my phone instead of like legit at my microphone, at my computer. So I don't really know how the quality of this is going to turn out, but we're just going to go with it. It's a more casual approach to my podcast. So yeah, dealing with disappointment. How do we deal with disappointment? I think I have some categories kind of framed out that I can share with you about how I deal with disappointment and maybe some ways that I struggle to deal with it and some ways that I do a pretty good job, I think. It's not really about tooting my own horn. It's really just about exploring this issue of disappointment and what are some options for how we move through it. So, first of all, yesterday I went and got my eyebrows done. I got this new thing done called eyebrow lamination, which sounds ridiculous because laminating is like essentially covering something in plastic, right? Which is part of the process. There is Saran wrap involved, but it doesn't stay there. The result is eyebrows that have been straightened out because eyebrows are normally kind of coarse and curly, and then they're not at their full length. I have notoriously my whole life not really had a lot of eyebrow to speak of. Anyway, we can get into plucking in the 90s and all that, but the gist is that I'm always coloring my eyebrows in. And my sister got her eyebrows done by our kind of like our family esthetician. Her name is Carla. She's lovely. Like more than lovely, she's awesome. And if you want a recommendation, by the way, if you're in the LA West Valley area, let me know and I'll hook you up with Carla. She's the bomb. So my sister got her eyebrows done and I was like, what did you do to your eyebrows? They look amazing. P.S. She always has amazing eyebrows because she just got she got the Italian eyebrows. I did not. She did. She got the full, dark, thick eyebrows, but her brows were especially on point. And I was like, what did you do? She's like, oh, I got this thing done. So I was like, hook me up. I need it done too. So I emerged from this appointment with Carla with eyebrows, you guys. I'll post a picture on my Instagram. I don't have to color them in every morning. I don't have to comb them. I mean, I can comb them, but I don't have to. They're just amazing. They're full and they're luscious and they're all mine. It's all my actual eyebrow hair, just straightened out and tinted so that they look remarkable. It's a little shocking at first to see myself with brows. I felt, to be honest, a little bit ridiculous. Now, when they're first done, they are shiny and kind of wet and like they had like a balm on them. So they were, by the way, I'm so funny. I'm holding the phone up to my mouth like that's where it's recording me, even though it's recording through my headphones. What a dork. I'm gonna put the phone down. So yeah, they did look shocking at first because like I wasn't wearing any makeup. I just had these massive brows and they were shiny and like, you know, she had tinted them. So like the skin around the brow was kind of tinted and they looked really funny. But like, you know, at first I was like, oh my God, it's too much. But then once I slept on it and, you know, did my makeup today and I've gotten used to them, I'm like, I'm just not used to seeing myself with so much eyebrow. So the point of telling you about the eyebrows is that I was getting into this chat with Carla, because you know how our beauty experts often can become our therapists. So we ended up having this chat about what's going on in life, and Carla had done my makeup, all of our makeup for my sister's wedding. So I had met her before. It had been a long time since I've seen her, and I've gotten a facial from her. And anyway, we had a lot to catch up on. So I was talking to her about this whole life transition, the divorce process, all of the things that have been going on. And I shared with her about some of my disappointments with my former partner, to whom I was married. Technically, we're still married, but won't be for very much longer. And she was, I would say, more than surprised about how I was talking about. She's like, how can you talk about these things so calmly and from such like a place of peace and stillness? And I was like, well, trust me, I've been through it. I've had a lot of time to process the impact of these things that have happened and to process and deal with my disappointment and to learn how to deal with my disappointment about things that maybe were, you know, were done around me, to me, with me, not with me. Without saying too much, I'm trying to really, really be respectful and just speak from my experience. But she was like, wow, I'm so impressed at how you are right now about all of this. Like, how can you be like this? And again, like, I'm not tooting my own horn. I have been through it. Like, the people closest to me have heard the, oh my God, I have to talk right this minute or I'm going to explode. The rage, the devastation, you know, the absolute crush, soul crushing, you know, response I've had to disappointing things in my divorce process and in my marriage ending. So obviously, I'm just like everybody else. I mean, we get hit with disappointing news or realities or facts or whatever, and we have usually, I guess, an emotional reaction to that, right? We don't immediately go to logic. It's like, we're emotional people. We're emotional animals. But then it's like, what do you do after that? After the initial emotional response, it's like, where do you go with to move on, to heal, to even just to like proceed, right? Like, how do you even just move forward and not just sit in a pit of disappointment mud and just get stuck there? Because it's so easy to. So anyway, that's one thing that I am learning to do, is to pick myself up and get out of that mud and take some steps just away from that pit. It's not easy, and I don't always do it well. But I think for me, what's crucial in this time in my life, when it comes to disappointment, is to not sit there for too long. And my friend Marcella, she's really good at telling me. Usually it's texting, so I'll be like, oh my God, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. And she's like, you can't sit there. You can't sit there for too long. Like, you know, wallow and then get up. You got to get up. You got to do something. Do something different. Like, okay. But I think the first key is to allow, for me, is to allow myself to have the hard feelings, to have the emotional response, to be devastated, to be mad, angry, hurt, to have the grief, to cry, to hit, to whatever, gnash my teeth, right? To have the honest emotional response. And then once that is kind of discharged a little bit, to say, okay, now what? Now I have to take responsibility for myself and I need to do something to help myself get through this, because that other person, quite possibly and likely, is not going to be the one that's going to give me what I need to recover from this, this blow, right? This loss, whatever it is. So that's one thing. So I guess we could say dust yourself off, right? Dust yourself off. And then another approach is to deflect. I'm going to use D words because why not, right? I love alliteration. Disappointment. Deflect. So deflect would probably be what we shouldn't do. Oh, I shouldn't say that. What is not the healthiest thing, but sometimes is the only thing available. If a disappointment is just too strong or raw or present or current to really like deal with it. That's another one. Deal with it. To deflect would be just like to pretend it doesn't freaking matter, right? Just like, whatever, let it roll off me. It's all good. I didn't really care anyway. Meh. And you know, again, deflecting is not what I would advise is the healthy way to deal with it. But in some cases, I think deflecting is the best way forward to move on. If there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, so I'll use my example today as my example. So I was set up to have a date today. And I'm not really talking a lot about my dating life yet because, again, I'm not divorced yet. And so I want to be very sensitive just in general. I'm not doing anything wrong. But I really want things to be settled and done with my marriage before I really start sharing more openly about how I'm moving forward and through this time. But I'll share a little bit that I was going to meet somebody today that I've been talking to for a couple weeks and have not yet met in person. And we had some plans to get together that didn't happen before, and then planned way ahead and made plans to get together today. And then at the last minute, he had to cancel because of something work-related. Now, I was very disappointed and might seem silly because I've just been talking to the guy for 2 weeks, you know, never met him in person. However, I had taken a break during the whole season of Lent, which is the 40 days leading up to Easter. I had taken a very intentional break from dating to just get my head on straight, focus on my new job, focus on my kids, and just be with myself. So the fact that I was, you know, getting out there again, and this time kind of approaching the whole thing very differently, which I'll share about in future episode when I'm more open about my dating life, but was a big deal to me. And he and I had made a connection. It was an online connection, and then quickly moved to texting and phone calls, and have a really, really good vibe. Really good. Like, kind of almost this like kindred spirit feeling, which scares me because of how quickly I jumped into my marriage that is ending. I'm very wary and cautious of like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know what happens when things go too fast. So I've got one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas. But I am excited. I've been excited about him. And I think the feeling is mutual. At least he says it is. And I believe him. I have no reason not to. But I was very eager to meet him today. And I was like, it was anticipated. I look forward to it all week. And then at the last minute, he had to cancel. And I was, to be honest, I was mad. The first feelings that came up for me were anger. I was mad at him for, you know, the last minute nature of the whole thing. I was mad at myself because I had gotten so invested and looked forward to it. I felt kind of dumb, like, wow, like, look what happens when you get your hopes up, you know? The best next step for me when dealing with that particular disappointment, I couldn't sit and wallow because there's nothing I could do about this. I could not make him meet me. I just needed to deflect and be like, you know what? All right. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed majorly. I'm annoyed. Like, I'm eating my ice cream now. Like, am I ever going to meet this guy? What does he think? I'm just going to wait around forever to meet him. And I was like, you know what? Deflect. I'm like, bummer. That really sucks. And maybe even a little distract too. Because suddenly I was left with this whole day open. I knew I had grading to do for my classes because I'm teaching. I really, really didn't want to do the grading. But I immediately knew, okay, you know what? I'm going to be able to distract myself by getting down to business and doing the things that I need to take care of, you know, to take responsibility for. So I deflected, I distracted, and kind of in the background did the more tender work of dealing with my disappointment, you know, like, okay. Forgive myself for judging myself as stupid, for getting my hopes up. Like, no, Kristen, you really look forward to meeting this guy. Like, it's okay to have those feelings. You know, it's scary to be vulnerable at this time in my life, but I don't want to lose my tenderness. And I also can't deny, there's another D word, that I was looking forward to meeting him, and that I think we have possibly a good thing. I just had to kind of like pull my energy back from the whole thing, you know? Like, I realized I had put a lot of my my hope, my energy, my anticipation out into the prospect of meeting him and what that might be like. And I needed to just kind of like reel it in. It was like I was reeling it in like a fishing line. Oh, gotta pull that back. Okay. And you know, I was able to, after I kind of dealt with like the initial blow of the disappointment, I was able to kind of realize that one of the reasons I was so disappointed was that I had put so much kind of out there in terms of like my, you know, my expectation. And I needed to pull that back. And I did that by setting a boundary. So it gave me the opportunity to reflect on, okay, what is making this so disappointing to me? Why can't I just be like, oh, that's cool, whatever. Like, we meet when we meet, whatever. You know, like what I wanted to do is be really cool about it. And I couldn't be. And that was part of my frustration was that, like, God, I'm too disappointed about this. You know, like, I shouldn't be this invested. So I use it as an opportunity to set a boundary. And I just said, okay, what do I need in this situation, in this relationship, to feel good about moving forward, right? After this disappointment. So I could have been like, all right, you know what? Call me when you call me, whatever, I kind of don't care. But that wouldn't have been honest. And it could have burned a bridge, right? I could have been like, oh, whatever, that's cool, no biggie. And that also wouldn't have been honest. That would have been really dishonest because I wouldn't have been being authentic, right? I would have been pretending that it didn't really matter to me. And that potentially, you know, in the early stages of a relationship, whether it's a romantic or a friendship, that can really set up a pattern where you tell the other person, ah, whatever, you can cancel on me last minute and it really doesn't matter. Whereas for me, it does matter. So I was able to say, hey, you know what? Like, I'm disappointed. I get it. It's not your fault, but I am disappointed. And like, hey, you just let me know, like, when you want to see me. Like, I have a busy schedule. You know, not trying to be a jerk, but like, I have a busy schedule, so my availability is rather limited. But like, when you want to see me, let me know, and I'll let you know if I'm free. So, ball's in your court. And also, I added, you know, I think I'm just going to pull back from contact for now until we meet, because I'm finding that like, I don't want to get any more emotionally invested. Like, as a way to protect myself, right? I told him, I'm not punishing you. I'm just like, this is hard for me. And so I'm going to pull back a little bit. Like, again, not as punishment, but just as self-preservation. Like, I need to protect myself, my energy, my heart. And, you know, he expressed his disappointment too, and his regret, and, you know, apologized, of course, and was like, I totally get it. So, you know, it's just like, I feel like I was able to put my big girl panties on. I feel like I handled the situation pretty well. Again, being disappointed, you know, by its nature implies that you care. Because if you don't care, you can't be disappointed. So admitting that I cared was kind of hard. Because again, part of me is thinking, oh, I shouldn't care this much, or it shouldn't matter. Or I should be cool and breezy about it. But, you know, I want to honor myself. I want to honor my feelings. I want to honor my care and accept my disappointment and look at it and see my anger and feel my frustration and my annoyance at the situation. And then to be able to take a deep breath and take appropriate responsibility for it while also asking the other person to take appropriate responsibility, right? And that is that boundary setting that says, hey, you do you, but here's what I'm going to do in relationship to you because of what I need, right? Like, you do what you choose to do, but here's what I need to kind of like, hopefully protect myself against similar disappointment in the future. But the truth is, you guys, people are going to disappoint us because we make mistakes, we make bad choices, shit happens, you know, we get called into work, our kid gets sick, you know, what are you going to do? Like, I can't take it personally, right? Part of me wanted to take it personally. Oh, he's canceling on me. He looked at my picture and decided, oh, she's whatever. She has too many chins. Whatever, right? Whatever story I might make up about it, right? I have no idea what's actually going on the other person's end. Even if they tell me, this is what happened, I'm so sorry. Like, you still be disappointed. It's okay. It shows that we give a crap, right? So, I've been rambling now for 23 minutes. So, deflect, distract. What was the first one I said? I don't remember. I should take notes on these things. Deal with it. How about we deal with it? You know, that's probably the best way to handle disappointment. Oh, dust off. Dust yourself off. Is to deal with it. You know, to admit it, to accept it, and to decide how to move forward. And yeah, I think that might be all I have to say. My ice cream's melting. Kind of wanted to watch this movie. One more thing, maybe. I think another thing is to be open to maybe the secret underlying reasons why the thing you wanted to work out did not work out. Whether that is a massive meta issue, like I didn't choose the right college, I didn't pursue the career I wanted, I married the wrong person, whatever the meta disappointment, and then to minor disappointment, like the date got canceled on me, I didn't get the, I'm thinking of my kids now, I didn't get the color egg I wanted, whatever, right? It's like, I lost my train of thought. Oh man, I lost my train of thought. What was I saying? Oh, two, look for the deeper meaning. There's another D word. Deeper meaning. What might be the reason that this didn't work out? And that might not even be something that you can in the moment determine, right? It's like this morning I woke up feeling weird. I told my friend Laurel, we went to get manicures together. I said, I feel weird today. Everything's just kind of off. And I told her, I think I am just a little bit nervous about this date that I have today. And then when the date ended up not working out, there's a part of me that was like, I kind of knew it. Like something today felt off. And there's a little bit of me that was relieved. Just again, not that I didn't want it to happen, but like, oh, the uncertainty, the wondering, whatever, right? The drive out there was going to be a little bit of a drive. Like, none of that's going to happen now. Like, I'm kind of off the hook for now. Okay. So, what if there was an accident on the freeway that I would have been involved in if I had gone on this date today? What if this person who I've been talking to ends up being not who they say they are, and then I'm really glad I didn't meet them. I mean, there are so many reasons, known and unknown, and some we may never know as to why something didn't work out the way that we wanted it to work out. Maybe you missed that light and got stuck at the red light for an extra 30 seconds because you would have hit the pedestrian. I mean, this is a morbid, I'm sorry. But you know what I'm saying? You know when you pass an accident and you're like, wow, if I had only been 3 minutes, if I had left on time and not been running late, I could have been in that accident. So I think one way to deal with disappointment is to consider that there may be a deeper meaning underlying why that thing did not work out the way that we wanted it to or that we thought it should. And to maybe just take a deep breath and trust that things work out in the way that they need to. And if they didn't, if it didn't work out the way that it needed to, and you know there's something you could have done better, then you have the opportunity to reassess how you're going to approach that thing in the future. But I don't know. There might be a reason why. There might be a deeper wisdom as to why that thing did not work out for you. All right, friends, that's it for me tonight. I hope you're having a great life and springtime. And hey, I don't have a guest lined up for my next episode. So if you would like to be my next guest and you have something that you'd like to share with me, maybe you want to share on the topic that I did today. Maybe you want to share on something totally different. Let me know. I'd love to have you. And you can record from home. You don't have to come to my house unless you want to. We can record transcontinentally, however we want to do it, okay? Thanks for listening. Appreciate your support. Please like, follow, subscribe, share, follow me at the Sharing Project Podcast at Instagram. And I'll see you soon. Talk to you next time.